any of you who have not heard the show for a wee while, the last couple of weeks I have been either on holiday or on sick leave. In total, it's been like 3 weeks with no Vinny. Must have sucked. I certainly thought it sucked without me. Today, I wanted to get into a few discussions about the government and Christchurch, just before we go to our guest. They've dug this. If anybody would listen to this show for a long time, okay, you remember a couple of years back, or basically when the Christchurch earthquake happened, and they said that they were going to come up with all these new developments for the city and all of that kind of stuff. What did I say? Oh, yeah, that's right. I said, oh, well, they're just going to do a huge Agenda 21 city that's all basically centered around the central city, taller buildings for slave blocks for scum to live in, and massive public transport systems and extremely expensive parking. And basically, it's just going to be Agenda 21 all over the place. And sure enough, you know, scum is so predictable. That's why we can beat them, because we know what they're going to do. But sure enough, yes, Agenda 21 has just been released in Christchurch, like some kind of a virus of the ecclesiastical climate change mob fashion. And it works down like this. Nobody's allowed to have a building over 7 stories high. Everybody has to be living in the central city. And of course, all those people that are living out in the destroyed suburbs, which the council in all its infinite wisdom said, hey, all those suburbs are actually just sand and beachland. Well, I haven't read the Bible. Go and build on it. And sure enough, when the earthquake happened, all those houses got sucked down. And there ain't nothing. So they lost entire suburbs. Like, imagine if Orange County disappeared because of an earthquake. And imagine what they would do to those kind of people who actually said, you know what, don't worry, build on those cliffs, whatever. They're never going to be washed away in 1,000 years. And, you know, this is the kind of short-sighted, short-tempered, stupid planning that you would expect from a globalist-controlled bunch of servitude-loving, boot-licking scum that we elect. Now, we can't elect them, though, can we? Is anybody else out there an elector? No? Yeah, I'm not an elector either. Ergo, none of us can elect anybody. We can vote for them, but we're never going to be able to elect the people we want, will we? It'll always be just the scum who just sit around dreaming up ways to frack all of us. And they get away with it too, because for the most part, we've been fracked so badly, we think it's good for us now. It's part of a culture, ladies and gentlemen, that we all suffer under and have been suffering under for quite some time. But it's interesting because it's like an invisible culture, because it's something you don't notice unless somebody brings it to your attention. Like my guest, Sid Singer. Sid, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Vinny. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Can you explain to us just a little bit about who you are, what you do, plug your websites and so forth?
Sure. I'm a medical anthropologist. I'm the director of the Institute for the Study of Culturogenic Disease, which is located in Hawaii. And what I do is we use medicine, anthropology, and biochemistry, we integrate them in the understanding of how our culture is making us sick. And essentially, like you were just saying, it was a great intro to this. There are so many things that we are trained to do from birth onward, probably even prenatally, that influence us in how we perceive the world, what we do, what our attitudes and behaviors are. I mean, we're cultural entities. And the culture is giving us a lot of behaviors and attitudes that lead to disease. We're doing things that are making us sick, the way we eat, sleep, drink, dress, raise our children, work, play. Everything, you know, live and die, you know, seek medical care, the entire system that we have and the way it's set up, oriented towards profits and corporate control, all of these things affect our health. And we do things like wear certain clothing, sleep in certain ways, and eat certain foods and so forth not realizing that these are choices and that the things we're doing are often, killing us. So that's what we study. We try to get people in touch with their own feelings so they can understand. Usually, your body has a defense mechanism, which is, pain and pleasure mechanisms. We know when things are typically good for us because they feel good, and things that are bad typically feel bad. And we learn to ignore those feelings early on so that the culture can program us to do things that aren't necessarily good for us. And so we try to get people back in touch with their feelings so they could identify these lifestyle-caused problems that usually lead to chronic diseases of all sorts.
Is that part of what causes chronic diseases, a non-awareness of how your own body functions and what its warning signs are?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a chronic disease to me is a problem that you just keep on doing over and over again, and it doesn't get to heal. It's like if you had a wound because you were rubbing yourself in a certain way on your skin, it would be a chronic problem because you're constantly abrading that area. Well, that's what a chronic problem is. It's something that you're repeating the insult. So people don't necessarily understand what they're doing. Like, take bra wearing. I mean, that's our most recognized research around the world is the link between breast cancer and bras. And here you have a constrictive garment that is binding the breast. And before we even get into that, we can give a great example because it's so much easier to look at another culture than your own, we discovered. As an anthropologist, most anthropologists don't study their own cultures because people are very resistant to looking in a mirror and seeing what they're doing. But imagine going back to Victorian times where people were wearing corsets. And that was necessary. You could not go out in public without a corset. They wore them all the time. Fashions required corsets. Men, children, everybody wore corsets. It was just for hundreds of years. And it was killing people. The constriction and compression of the organs by the corset, which was, when you change the shape of the body, you change its function because the body is designed to function a certain way with its anatomy, and you change the anatomy.
Wasn't there some, back in the day, there was some woman who got pregnant, she didn't want to be pregnant, and she kept wearing her corset, and it turned the fetus flat kind of thing, and it was born and still alive, and she sold it to a circus.
Well, that could have been. I mean, that you can change the body's shape by applying. Some cultures in Africa, I forget which one it was, but they wrapped a band around their skull to create a cone-shaped skull, and it works. In our culture, the baby's head shape is determined by how you make it sleep. If you put it on its back, the back of the head will get flatter and the head will be rounder. You put it on the side and the head gets narrower. That affects sleep position is extremely important, by the way. We did research on that as well. But I don't want to diverge too much because there's so much to talk about. I want to focus on, let me get back to the corset thing. I just wanted to bring that up to let you realize now we can look at corsets and say, yeah, that was ridiculous. But back then people felt it was essential. And that it was even necessary for health and all of this nonsense. Well, it's the same thing. The corset became the girdle and the bra. The bra is basically a breast corset. It's designed to change the shape of the breasts, and that is done by applying pressure. Pressure pushing the tissue in a different shape. That pressure cuts down on circulation, especially the delicate lymphatic system within the breast tissue, which are these tiny microscopic vessels that passively drain the fluid out of the tissues. And the fluid then goes to lymph nodes. But the breast tissue fluid is being backed up because of these bras that compress the tissue. If you ever see red marks or indentations in breasts of women when they take off their bra, women know that they'll see these marks from where the bra was. It compresses. That compression cuts off, lymphatic circulation gets impaired. So the breasts get filled with fluid that can't escape. Because the bloodstream delivers it under pressure, and then the lymphatic system drains it passively with movement and with breathing. And there are these little valves that keep it going in one direction. But you put a little band across that and forget it. It's not going to be able to drain. And that's why women get cysts and fluid back up in their breasts. Those eventually become fibrous, and that's fibrocystic breast disease. It really should be called tight bra syndrome. So eventually the toxins that we're exposed to in our lives. We live in a petrochemically polluted world with chemicals in everything, plastics on everything. There's pesticides and herbicides in everything. So we are breathing, drinking, and eating poisons that our bodies remarkably can get rid of if they circulate properly. And if they can't, then part of the body that's constricted, that can't drain the fluids properly, is going to not be able to clean out these toxins as well. So the breasts are getting toxic from the bra constricting the lymphatic drainage. And that leads to cancer. And, you know, throughout the world, if there are no bras in a culture where they don't wear bras, they have virtually no breast cancer. Men and women have about the same incidence of breast cancer if there are no bras. As soon as women wear bras, the longer it's worn, the worse the risk is. And by the time they're wearing it 24/7, which unfortunately many women are doing these days, the risk rises over 100 times. And that's the difference between a bra-free, between a woman who wears a bra in like America or New Zealand, the difference in incidence between a woman wearing a bra and a bra-free woman is about 100-fold.